This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Radio Church This Morning. I'm Anne Thompson, one of the Presbyterian ministers in Dunedin, and I'm joined this morning by Moira. We're part of Knox Church. Radio Church is led each week by a minister from the inner city churches in Dunedin through Otago Access Radio. If you want to give any feedback on this morning's service, please contact Otago Access Radio. In our call to worship today, taken from Psalm 126, there is a response you might like to join in with, Moira, to the words, "You have done great things for us, O God." The response is,
We sing aloud for joy.
Our call to worship. God liberates those who are captives, bringing dreams to reality. You have done great things for us, O God.
We sing aloud for joy.
You fill our mouths with laughter, and our tongues declare your praise. You have done great things for us, O God.
We sing aloud for joy.
Our lives overflow with your goodness, as dry riverbeds are transformed with abundant rain. You've done great things for us, O God.
We sing aloud for joy.
Those who go out weeping will come home with shouts of joy. You have done great things for us, O God.
We sing aloud for joy.
Marnie Barrell has written a hymn to God, the three in one and one in three, called Maker of Mystery. We'll use it as our prayer first and then listen to it being sung to music by Colin Gibson. Let us pray. Maker of mystery, dreamer of what will be, wellspring and fertile ground of all our growing, tending the buried seed, foreseeing every need, you draw us into life beyond our knowing. Christ, strong and living vine, spreading through space and time, deep-rooted in the love of God our Mother, dying, you live and share your strength with us to bear ripe fruit in season for the lives of others. Wild spirit springing green, coiled in the depths unseen, promise of seed within the fruit maturing. New life you grow and swell, burst from the outgrown shell, hundredfold yield in every age ensuring. Living and loving God, sing in the pulse of our blood, help us to know you in your own creation. Love you, the life of all, serve you and hear your call from our first forming to our full salvation. Amen.
Thank you.
Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Over the past 5 weeks, we've been journeying with Jesus as he turns his face to Jerusalem. And today he is in Bethany, only a few kilometres outside the city. Next week is Palm Sunday, and we'll remember his entry into the city in the last week of his life. Bethany is a place where Jesus was among friends. Mary and Martha lived there with their brother Lazarus. Lazarus had died, of course, and Jesus had not been there to heal him, but he had restored him to life, and not surprisingly, that story had reached the ears of the religious authorities, the council of chief priests and the Pharisees. They were very concerned, because any disruption to their orderly religious life would attract the attention of the Romans. They knew that they were tolerated by the Romans and allowed some religious freedom so long as they kept everything under control. But Jesus disrupted all that, and they feared that Rome would come and destroy both the temple and the nation. So they were looking for the best way to get rid of Jesus. As Caiaphas the high priest said, "It is better to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed." Jesus had left Bethany and he'd been staying with his disciples on the edge of the wilderness, but now it was time for the Passover. The crowds were flocking into Jerusalem to prepare for the Passover celebration, and they were looking for Jesus too, wondering if he would be there, knowing that he would be in great danger if he did appear. And the chief priests and Pharisees put the word out that they wanted to hear if Jesus did turn up, so that they could arrest him. Listen now to the story from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the house of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me."
Now we'll listen to a song from Aotearoa, New Zealand. "God, listen to us. God, look to us, your children. We are yours and we believe in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. E te ariki." Mary and Martha are intriguing characters. We know them best from the story Luke tells when Jesus arrived with his disciples. And while Mary was sitting at his feet listening to his teaching, Martha was busy in the kitchen preparing for proper hospitality to their guests and becoming increasingly frustrated with her sister's absence until finally she burst in, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." In today's story, we find Mary and Martha again welcoming Jesus into their home. This time it is for great celebration. Their brother Lazarus had died, and Jesus had restored him to life, summoning him from the tomb. In the earlier part of that story, in chapter 11, we've seen how Mary and Martha have grown in their faith and their understanding of who Jesus is. Both were disappointed that Jesus had not arrived before their brother died because they believed that Jesus could have healed him. But Jesus assures Martha that Lazarus will rise again. And then Martha makes an astounding declaration of faith. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." It is the most complete confession of faith in John's Gospel up to this point. Martha has got it, and she has recognized who Jesus was. Now the family gathers at the table for a celebration feast. Jesus has come back to be with them, even though the threats against him are growing, even though he is putting himself into danger by coming to Bethany, so close to Jerusalem and so close to the Passover. But their brother, who was dead, is alive again, and they need to celebrate, to welcome their friend, to find some way of expressing their gratitude and their love and their commitment to him. Martha serves. This might sound like putting her in her place in the kitchen, but this word for serve, diakonē, John only uses twice in his gospel, and this is the first time, as Martha serves Jesus and the other guests. And the second time is later in this chapter when Jesus says, "Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour." To serve is to be a disciple, a follower. To serve is to follow the one who said, "I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." To serve in Greek is to be a diakonos, a deacon, one who had a leadership role in the early church. So Martha here is the deacon, demonstrating the nature of servant leadership. She's one who recognizes the truth about Jesus, who confesses her faith in Jesus, and who follows him in practical service. That's not a bad portrait of discipleship. Alongside Martha is Mary. Reminiscent of the story in Luke's Gospel, as Martha continues to serve, Mary places herself again at Jesus' feet, but this time she brings a quantity of highly costly perfume and in the middle of the meal anoints Jesus' feet and wipes his feet with her hair, and the fragrance fills the whole house. Mary's action is breathtaking. The extravagance of the perfume, the intimacy of the action, the smell filling the whole house, and the meaning underlying the anointing. While kings and prophets were anointed on the head, a corpse would be anointed on its feet. Jesus recognizes what is happening. "She has done this for my burial." And within a few days, Jesus himself will kneel at the feet of his friends with a towel around his waist and water in a bowl, and he will wash their feet. And after washing them, he will say to them, "If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have set you an example that you also should do what I have done." Judas, of course, is set up as the antithesis of discipleship. He claims concern for the poor, knowing full well that this is Jesus' concern too, for the least and the lost and the left out. But Judas's protest is entirely self-serving, and before the week is out, he will have handed Jesus over to those who want to kill him. Martha and Mary both demonstrate the way of discipleship, believing and trusting in Jesus, serving out of love and gratitude, serving in practical and in powerful ways. Martha recognizes the truth about Jesus, confesses her faith in Jesus, and follows Jesus in the way of practical service. Mary gives what is costly, giving in humble service, giving in love, giving in faith that recognizes and responds to Jesus' own self-giving in his life and ultimately in his death. Hearing this story again, we are invited to live a life of discipleship, shaped by love and faith, responding to Jesus' own great love and sacrificial giving of himself. We'll hear a song now that speaks of Jesus, the servant king. let us join in prayer. And to the words, "Help us, Lord, to serve you," there is a response, to give and not to count the cost. Help us, Lord, to serve you, to give and not to count the cost. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, you love us with an everlasting love. You love us so much that you've given your only Son to save us, to bring us to eternal life. Blessed are you now and forever.
Loving God, we give thanks for all who have given their lives in love and service of humankind. We remember those who live quietly, sacrificially, so that others may enjoy the fullness of life. We ask you to bless those who speak out and live out your good news before others, especially those who risk life or liberty in doing so. Help us, Lord, to serve you,
to give and not to count the cost. We give thanks for all who've offered their talents and time to others in situations of need without thought of the cost. We pray for those who work in emergency services, for first responders and police. We ask you to bless all those who are seeking to relieve poverty and oppression in the world and in our own land. Give wisdom and clear vision to researchers and decision makers and bureaucrats and to all who work to provide for those in need and to find new ways of ordering society so that poverty is reduced and oppression relieved. Help us, Lord, to serve you.
To give and not to count the cost. Thank you for those we love, those who have enriched our lives through their care and their goodness. We remember our families and friends, those who have taught us, those who have given us assistance and encouragement, those who have helped us out, helped us up when we have been down. We remember for those who feel neglected, unwanted, overlooked. Help us, Lord, to serve you,
to give and not to count the cost. In your presence, loving God, we pray for those who are suffering, those who are being persecuted, those who are oppressed, those who are subjected to abuse. And particularly, we remember those who continue to suffer through war, especially the people of Gaza, facing destruction and famine. Strengthen all who work to find ways to peace in Israel and around the world. May we help where we can to ease pain or trouble. Help us, Lord, to serve you.
To give and not to count the cost. We give thanks that through the life of Jesus, who offered himself on the cross, you have opened for us the way to life eternal. We rejoice with all who have walked the path of discipleship before us, serving you and serving those around him, giving generously, extravagantly out of love. May we continue to follow you on the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The final hymn we listen to today is from a poem by Joy Cowley. Beautiful presence, how can we name you? Words are too small for the one who is all. Beautiful presence, ocean of love, strong as forever, soft as a dove. Words often fail us, but this we know true. You live within us as we live in you.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.